I'm starving.
Me too.
Here you go. Enjoy.
Thanks.
Now, Constable, the secret of a good souffle is consistency. You have to be careful not to overwhip it.
I see.
I hope I'm not boring you.
Just because I don't need food, Commander, doesn't mean I'm not interested in its preparation. I'm fascinated by the humanoid preoccupation with eating. May I?
By all means.
Odo takes the bowl and whisk from Sisko and, holding the whisk still, moves the bowl around it.
Nice and smooth. That's it. It's all in the wrist.
Where did you learn all this?
In my father's restaurant in New Orleans.
What are we having? It smells delicious.
Black and red fish with cream spinach and sautéed beets.
Beets?
You don't like beets, Doctor?
Well, they're not exactly a personal favorite of mine, no.
That's because you haven't had them prepared properly. Beets are a very misunderstood vegetable.
Well, I look forward to understanding it better.
Come in.
Oh, what a day. I just spent 6 hours in one of the upper pylons trying to get the new sensor relay online.
Help yourself to something. Dinner will be ready in a few minutes.
Great. I've been looking forward to this all day.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.
Keep at it, Constable. Nice, even strokes.
You find something amusing, Major?
Oh, I just think you look so cute.
Jadzia picks up a synthesizer keypad hidden in the corner and lays it on a coffee table.
Whose is this?
It's mine.
I didn't know that you played.
I don't. I took lessons for a while, but I wasn't very good.
Well, I know the feeling. None of Dax's hosts, even Jadzia, had any musical ability.
Nobody said life was fair.
Even if you had 7 of them. You would think one of us would have been born without a tin ear.
Sounds like one of you had some talent after all.
That's lovely.
Quiet.
Everyone stares at Dax, surprised by her sudden outburst. Sisko and Odo share a look of shock before the commander takes the souffle bowl away from the changeling and continues cooking. Dax continues playing while Bashir crosses to Kira and nods at Dax.
That's not it. What piece was that? I don't know. I don't believe I've ever heard it before.
Maybe you hit on it by accident, you know, beginner's luck.
But I know it somehow.
Yeah, it's probably something from your childhood. You'll think of it.
Dinner is ready.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Deep Space Nine, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Equilibrium. A huge comet rushes through space, the light of billions of stars illuminating the frozen gas it leaves in its wake. Alone in the freezing blackness of a universe littered with stars and planets, the immense space station Deep Space Nine is dwarfed by the comet as it rushes past into the depths of space. The space station comprises a column and an inner and outer tube on a flat plane. The circles are huge tubes attached to each other and the central column by large metal arms. Deep Space Nine seems almost spherical. 3 semicircular arms bend vertically, equidistant apart, towards the center, but do not meet. Lights flash all over the space station. The regular blinking of navigation and positioning lights maintain its visibility. Along the inner and outer circular tubes, small blocks of square lights signify the windows of crew and civilian quarters in the habitat rings. The intense light of a distant star glares off the mud-colored hull, picking out the huge features of the giant space station. The shadows created only serve to emphasize the mystery of the former Cardassian stronghold. Lights shine in military order around the upper central segment of the central core, housing the operations room atop the power center. A Federation runabout flies over Deep Space Nine, and in the distance, the blackness of space shifts. Blue light bursts from a spatial phenomenon. From nothing, the swirling, circular shape of the wormhole becomes visible. As quickly as it appeared, the wormhole is gone, folding in on itself and disappearing in a flash of intense pale blue light.
Do you mind?
What?
You're humming. It's a little distracting.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was doing it.
You've been humming that same tune since we started the game.
Guess I just can't get it out of my mind.
Do me a favor. Try. Your turn. You sure you want to do that?
Your move.
Check.
Where did that knight come from?
Your mind is not on the game.
So you decided to make an illegal move to get my attention?
Of course not. And it's a legal move. You know, why don't we just call it a day? You obviously have other things on your mind.
Curzon always suspected you were a cheat.
Is this some kind of joke?
Don't play innocent with me, Benjamin. We both know you're trying to cheat me here. So why don't you just admit it?
Dax, did Sisko send you to apologize for him?
No.
But he was concerned about what happened. I thought you might like to talk about it.
There's nothing to talk about.
You can't really think he tried to cheat you.
I knew you'd take his side.
I'm not taking anybody's side.
In that case, I think you should leave, Kira. I'm serious. Leave. Fine. I'll go.
Wait.
Get your hands off of me. Before I do something I'll regret. That's the first smart thing you've done since you walked over here.
With dismay, Kira watches Dax walk away. Her face wreathed with anger, Dax strides along the busy promenade. Passing a display common, the atmosphere suddenly changes. The people disappear and the bright lights dim, glowing dully in an eerie mist. Suddenly aware of the change, Dax stops. Looking around, she is totally alone. Suddenly, she looks up. Standing on the upper level is a black cloaked figure wearing an ominous, luminous mask. She looks away and then back again, but the figure disappears. Turning around to go back, she is suddenly confronted by a similar figure wearing a blank, almost childlike mask. The figure quickly removes the mask to reveal another one. She turns away and another figure appears. The cloaked figure rips its mask in two. Another mask glowers at her from underneath. Suddenly, she is back on the busy promenade and Quark rushes into her.
Something wrong, Lieutenant?
No. No.
In the infirmary, Dax lies on her back on a medibed while Dr. Bashir slowly scans her body with a remote tricorder sensor. Studying the readings, he smiles calmly to Sisko beside him and crosses to the main console.
How do you feel?
I feel like an idiot. I'm so sorry about all the horrible things I said to you.
Don't worry about it. They're already forgotten.
And I used to think Curzon had a temper.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
I feel like I have so much anger inside, and I don't know where it's coming from.
This masked figure in your...
hallucinations?
Do you have the sense of who it might have been?
That's what's so strange. He seems familiar somehow, but I don't know from where. And the music. Benjamin, I have to find out what that music is.
Why don't you input as much as you can remember in the computer? It might be able to find a match in the Federation database.
I'll do it. Well, as soon as Julian lets me leave here.
Jadzia. Have you experienced any hallucinations prior to this?
Never, and I hope I never do again. It was terrifying.
Have any of Dax's other hosts?
No, believe me, I'd remember.
Well, according to your file, the only major trauma the Dax symbiont ever suffered was when Torias Dax was injured in a shuttle accident.
Torias? He was Dax's fifth host, wasn't he?
Yes, right before Curzon.
It says here that Torias remained in a comatose state for just under 6 months. There must have been a lot of tissue damage. The doctors couldn't keep his isoboramine levels up.
Isoboramine?
It's a neurotransmitter that mediates the synaptic functions between the host and the symbiont.
When the levels dropped to below 40% of normal, they had to remove the symbiont.
Sometimes the host is sacrificed to save the symbiont. Are you checking my isoboramine levels?
Yes.
How low are they?
They've fallen to 73% of normal.
Do you have any idea what's causing it?
I'm not sure. There's no tissue damage, no synaptic degradation.
Julian, am I in danger of rejecting my symbiont?
I wouldn't worry about rejection just yet. But we do have to get your isoboramine levels back up. And I suggest we take her back to the Trill homeworld and have the doctors at the Symbiosis Commission examine her.
Sisko walks slowly towards her and lays a comforting hand gently on her shoulder.
Curzon always said he wanted to show me the Trill homeworld. Looks like I'm going to get there after all.
A large shuttle rises from its docking port and swings over Deep Space Nine. Commander Sisko sits in the command chair as Dr. Bashir enters the bridge.
How long before we reach Trill?
A little over 37 hours. How's Dax?
Resting in a quarters.
It's funny. It's been almost 4 years since Curzon died, and I still miss the old man. At first, I never thought I'd ever get used to a new Dax. But if anything happens to Jadzia...
I know. I feel the same way. We'll just have to make sure nothing happens to her, right?
Right.
Yes?
Oh, good. I didn't wake you.
Not at all. You having trouble sleeping?
Yeah, a little.
I could get you something.
No, thanks. But I could use some company, if you're not too busy.
Oh, no, I was just reading.
Oh, anything I'd be interested in? Trill physiology.
Just some background research. Look, Jadzia, I know you're worried. But the doctors at the Symbiosis Commission know a lot more about this than I do.
I can't believe I'm going back there. I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate, and in all that time, I hardly ever left the complex. After I was joined, I swore I would never step foot in there again.
Was it really that bad?
No. What I remember is the endless series of tests they put me through.
Well, considering the risk of rejection, you can't really blame them. If they were to put a symbiont in an unsuitable host, they'd both be dead within a matter of days.
That's true. I guess I had such a difficult time because I put so much pressure on myself. I wanted to be joined so badly.
Well, look on the bright side. At least this time you won't be going there as an initiate.
No, I'm going there as a patient. And that's much worse. I never told you this before, Julian. But I've always been afraid of doctors.
Most people are. When I was younger, I was terrified of them.
Really?
Well, they seemed to know everything. It was as if they held the power of life and death in their hands. I used to think that if I didn't behave, they'd make sure I got sick. Then, as I got older, I decided that I wanted to know what they knew, be as smart as they were.
And that's why you went to medical school.
That's right. And you know what I learned there? That all I really wanted to do was help people. That's what doctors are there for, to help. So there's really no reason to be afraid of them. Now, if that little story didn't put you to sleep, I don't know what will.
You're a very dear man, Julian.
Listen, Jadzia, you're more than welcome to stay the night here if you want. You can have the top bunk.
Are you sure you don't mind?
Absolutely not. Up you go.
Okay, well, in that case, if it's not too much trouble, would you mind if I took the lower bunk? Curzon fell out of a tree once and...
whatever you want.
Thank you.
While Dax lies down, Bashir switches off the light for the bottom bunk and climbs onto the top bunk. Lying back, he opens the data file on Trills, and suddenly a thought occurs to him.
Is this light too bright for you?
He looks down. She is fast asleep.
Sweet dreams.
Golden towers reach up into a sun-bright, blue-clouded sky on Trill.
After they finally finished the neural response analysis, another doctor came in and ran a cortical protein series.
Did they do a biospectral scan on the symbiont?
They had to make an incision so they could insert the scanner.
Jadzia, it's good to see you again.
Dr. Renhall, everyone's very excited about your being here, you know. Jadzia is the only initiate to ever successfully reapply to the program after being dropped. You must be Dr. Bashir.
That's right.
Commander Benjamin Sisko.
Ah, yes, Curzon's friend.
Yes, I had that privilege.
Did you get a chance to look over the test results?
Yes, I did. As you noted, Doctor, her isoboramine levels are low, so I put her on a benzosciatic regimen to compensate. As you can see, there's already a 3% improvement.
Will I have to stay here for the duration of the treatment?
No, Dr. Bashir can administer it. But I do want to see you back here tomorrow for a follow-up. And for lunch.
I'd like that.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I have an initiate who needs some hand-holding.
I don't know why we came back here when I could be taking you on a tour of the Teneran ice cliffs.
You're not taking us anywhere, Dax.
You're going straight to your quarters to rest.
But...
No buts. Doctor's orders.
But I cannot sleep in the afternoon.
Just lie down, close your eyes, and try not to think.
It usually works for me.
Nodding in mock acceptance, Jadzia turns away and crosses the bridge to the exit. She turns back to speak, but Sisko's calm and authoritative face stops her. She nods and leaves. Nodding to a crew member in the corridor, Jadzia is suddenly aware that the atmosphere has changed. The lights have dimmed, and the music starts. The masked, cloaked figure blocks her path, his eyes wide and forceful.
Who are you?
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Suddenly, two Trill rush at Dax and grab hold of her. She struggles, freeing her arm to swing at her female aggressor and knock her down. She turns to the man and raises her fist.
Dax! Jadzia!
The lights are suddenly brighter and she lowers her hand, releasing the doctor. She looks down at the unconscious woman on the floor and stares wildly around, searching for the masked man. Bashir watches her, at once both frightened and desperately concerned.
I don't understand why she'd have another hallucination. I've checked our isoboramine levels. They've risen another 6%.
That's a larger increase than I'd anticipated. The suddenness could be what triggered the hallucination. I want you to begin administering more frequent treatments at a lower dosage.
Doctor, the people who attacked me, they were from the Symbiosis Commission.
Hallucinations often take the form of latent anxieties. And we all know the time you spent here wasn't that easy for you.
But the uniforms they were wearing, they were from over 100 years ago.
That was long before Jadzia was an initiate.
And none of my other hosts had any bad memories of being here.
Well, with 7 lifetimes worth of memories, it's no surprise things would get a bit jumbled.
So you feel we're on the right track with these treatments?
Yes, I do. But I still want to see you tomorrow.
What's on your mind, Dax?
Oh, I wish I knew what these hallucinations meant.
The computer's still trying to identify the music. Maybe that'll tell us something.
I hope so.
Jadzia, maybe you still have some issues you need to sort out about the time you spent here.
I don't need therapy, Julian. I need answers. Maybe the Guardians can help me.
The Guardians?
They're unjoined Trill who have devoted their lives to the care of the Symbionts.
They know more about them than anyone.
Quietly, almost reverently, Dax leads Sisko and Bashir through an underground rock tunnel into a sparsely lit cavern. Descending a rocky staircase, they stand by a pool of thick, blue-gray liquid.
So, this is where the Symbionts breed?
Mm-hmm. There are interconnecting pools throughout these caves. They stretch back for kilometers. Look. There's 2 of them surfacing now.
2 slug-like beings skim across the surface.
What was that energy discharge?
It's how the Symbionts communicate with each other.
Fascinating.
A man walks out of a tunnel behind them carrying a bag and a long, thin device. Approaching the edge of the pool, he drops the bag and points the device at the liquid. He fires a short burst of energy into the pool.
That's one of the Guardians. Don't be surprised if he seems a little distracted. They're not used to visitors.
That explains things.
Can I ask what you're doing?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, just making sure they're comfortable. Checking the ion concentration, temperature, viscosity. Get very cranky if everything's not perfect.
You don't want them cranky. Oh, no. Huh. Of course not.
They can be very demanding. Sometimes, don't know why I put up with it. What's the weather like outside?
Well, it's sunny. Very pleasant.
Ah, sunshine. I miss sunshine. You're Dax.
Yes. Jadzia Dax, how did you know?
He approaches with his arms held harmlessly out to his sides.
I know. Something's wrong.
Yes.
Do you mind?
He gently puts his hand against her stomach.
Oh. Oh, that is not good. Not good at all. Tell me, how bad are the dreams?
They're not dreams. They're hallucinations.
Actually, they're memories.
Then why don't I remember them?
The balance is off.
You mean the balance between host and symbiont?
What other balance is there? Someone's not playing fair. It wouldn't be Dax, so it must be the host.
You're saying the problem is with Jadzia?
No, not necessarily. It could be any one of the hosts. All right, Dax, come with me. Let's see what we find.
The Guardian takes Jadzia's hand and leads her away. Sisko and Bashir exchange a look of surprise and then head back to the shuttle. On board, the commander and the doctor study readings on a console as Dax enters.
How'd it go?
Tamar is convinced that my hallucinations have something to do with one of my previous hosts, but he's not sure which one. So he wants me to come back again tomorrow to see him.
We've got some good news. The computer's identified your music.
Can I hear it? That's it.
The piece was written by a trill named Joran Bellar, 86 years ago.
Does the name sound familiar?
Joran Bellar? I don't think so. Is there a picture of him?
I'll see.
As a face appears on the screen, Dax's eyes suddenly widen with horror-filled recognition. In a terrifyingly real flashback, Jadzia finds herself in a dark room watching a middle-aged man at a desk. Suddenly, the masked figure appears behind him carrying a long, thin, spiked weapon. The figure approaches stealthily and rams the spike into his neck. The figure looks at Dax.
He left me no choice.
Who are you?
As he runs away, Dax grabs him. Reaching for his mask, it suddenly flashes blue, revealing the face of the killer. On the bridge, Dax starts to shake violently.
Dax. Dax.
She's in neural shock.
We have to stabilize her synaptic functions. Activate the neural induction field. Give her another 2 cc's of benzocyanidazine.
Doctor.
Her isoboramine levels are down to 51%. I don't understand it. A decrease that severe is usually the result of tissue damage. Commander, this wormhole you've discovered, have your people done any surveys of the diametric fields it generates?
Yes. In fact, Dax did the most recent survey herself.
I'd like to see those reports.
Do you think there's any correlation between Dax's condition and the wormhole?
Something unusual is affecting her, and at this point we can't afford to rule anything out. If we can't get her isoboramine readings up to an acceptable level within 48 hours, I'm afraid we'll have to remove the symbiont.
But that'll kill Jadzia.
I'm well aware of that, Commander. But Jadzia would be the first to tell you that our primary responsibility must be to the symbiont. If there's any change in her condition, I'll let you know.
Tamor, we need your help. Dax has gone into neural shock.
Sorry to hear that.
The doctors at the Symbiosis Commission don't know what's causing it.
You told Jadzia that her condition had something to do with one of Dax's previous hosts.
That was just speculation.
You told her you were certain of it.
If I gave that impression, I apologize. Now, if you gentlemen will excuse me, the symbionts need me.
Jadzia needs you too. She's dying.
All we're asking is that you come with us to the Symbiosis Commission and consult with Dr. Renhall.
I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do.
How do you know that unless you try?
Tamor, what's going on here? Did someone tell you not to pursue this?
Why would anyone do that?
You tell me.
I hope your friend recovers. I truly do. Now, if that's all, I'm very busy.
He's not busy. He's scared.
Why would anyone want to keep him quiet about this? What are they trying to hide?
Yesterday, Timur claimed the problem was with one of Dax's previous hosts. Today, the mere mention of the possibility makes him nervous.
You think that someone doesn't want an investigation of those past hosts?
I can't think of a better reason for such an investigation, can you?
It's possible that one of the Dax hosts had something to do with this composer, Bellar.
Well, Jadzia seemed to lose consciousness the minute she saw Bella's picture.
I think it's time we found out more about it.
Back on the shuttle in orbit around Trill, the Doctor works at a console on the bridge.
I've accessed the Trill central database. Let's see what information there is on Joran Bellar. Here we are. Born on stardate 1024.7, died on stardate 8615.2.
Is that all there is?
Well, I was expecting a lot more. When I looked through Dax's records, there was detailed information on each host.
Could the file have been purged?
If part of the file's been deleted, the data compression ratio might be off. Yeah, look at this. The ratio's for a file 5 times larger. There was definitely more information here.
Call up Dax's records. Put them side by side with Duran's. Wait a minute. Look at these dates.
Bellar died on the same day as Taurius Dax died.
The same day the Dax symbiont was put into Curzon.
Oh, this has to be more than a coincidence.
Whoever purged the main database might have missed something.
Check the enrollment records of all the Trill Music Academies during Bellar's lifetime.
Well, he's not listed, but there is someone here with the same last name. Maybe they're related.
Your lad Bellar. Check the central database. See if he's still alive.
He is.
Access the Trill communications grid. Try to locate him.
There's a reasonable chance that he and Duran were related. Musical ability often runs in families. I've established a comm link.
Put him on the main viewer.
Yes. Can I help you?
I'm Commander Benjamin Sisko of the Federation Starbase Deep Space Nine.
What would a Starfleet officer want with me?
Are you your lad Bellar?
I am. Why?
We're trying to find information on a man named Duran Bellar. Do you know him?
Of course I did. He was my brother.
He was a composer?
That's right. We both graduated from the same music academy.
Are you aware that his record has been purged from the academy's files?
That doesn't make any sense. But what's this all about?
That's what we're trying to find out. Do you know if your brother knew a joined Trill named Taurius Dax?
My brother died 85 years ago. I have a hard time remembering what happened yesterday.
Then you don't remember the name?
No. But that doesn't mean Duran didn't know him. You say he was joined. They could have met when my brother went off to become an initiate.
He was a candidate for joining?
That's what I just said, isn't it?
Was he given a symbiont?
Not according to the Symbiosis Commission. They claim he was dropped from the program after the second year. According to them, he murdered the doctor that recommended dropping him and was killed trying to escape the murder scene.
Sounds like you're not convinced that's what really happened.
Oh, I believe he killed that doctor. My brother had a violent temper. But about 6 months before that happened, my brother contacted me and sounded different somehow, more confident, not even colder than usual. And when I asked him about it, he laughed. He said he was different, that he had been joined.
Did he tell you the name of his symbiont?
Maybe he did. I was so surprised to learn he'd been chosen to be joined. I can't remember much else. I loved my brother, Commander. In spite of all the things he did, I loved him.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with us. Doctor, call up Dax's records. I think I'm beginning to understand what's going on here. According to the official records, after Taurius died, the Dax symbiont was put into Curzon. What if that's not what happened? What if Dax was given another host before Curzon? A host who should never have been given a symbiont.
A host named Duran Bellar.
Isoboramine levels have dropped to 44%. Tell Dr. Torvin to prepare the new host for surgery. We'll begin transferring the symbiont in 15 minutes.
Tell Dr. Torvin to get a cup of Raptogeno. He won't be needed.
Commander Sisko, how dare you come in here and...
It's over, Doctor. We know about Duran Bellar.
Wait outside. Tell the surgeons to stand by. I don't have time for this, Commander. The symbiont is in danger.
So is Jadzia.
I can't do anything for her.
Can't or won't?
I resent that implication.
And I resent having to watch my friend die just so you can protect your secret.
What secret?
No, I think you know. And the thought of it becoming public scares the hell out of you.
Commander, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the fact that 86 years ago, the Symbiosis Commission mistakenly gave the Dax symbiont to Jaran Bellar.
I don't recall ever seeing any mention of a Jaran Dax on our records.
And we both know why, Doctor. The Symbiosis Commission altered the records, just like they tried to erase all knowledge of Jaran from Dax's memory.
And now, after 80 years, the memory block is deteriorating and Dax is starting to remember the Jaran host.
What possible reason would anyone have to create that sort of elaborate cover-up?
We wondered about that, too. What was it about Jaran that had to be hidden at all costs? The fact that he never should have been selected as a host? No. That simple error in judgment wouldn't be enough, would it? There had to be something more. Something that would shake the very foundation of your society.
Tell me, Doctor, how many of your people are suitable for joining?
I don't see how that's relevant.
I understand the percentage is very low. Maybe 1 in 1,000?
That's right.
Which is why the candidates are put through such rigorous testing.
That's how we make sure the symbionts aren't given to an unsuitable host.
What would happen if, for some reason, a symbiont was given to an unsuitable host?
That doesn't happen.
Now, what if it did?
Rejection would set in. The host and the symbiont would both die.
How long before rejection would set in?
3, maybe 4 days.
Then someone like Jaran Bellar, an unstable personality with violent tendencies, should have rejected a symbiont within a matter of days, yet that didn't happen, did it? According to our information, he was joined to the Dax symbiont for 6 months.
6 months, Doctor. If a man like Jaran Bellar can be joined successfully for that long, how many others can be joined as well? Hundreds? Thousands? Certainly more than the Symbiosis Commission would have us believe, and that is what you've been trying to cover up all along, isn't it? That's why you're willing to let Jadzia die. I'm not interested in exposing your secret, Doctor. All I care about is Jadzia. And I promise you, if she dies, I'll see to it that the entire planet knows why.
Do you realize what would happen if you did that? It would mean chaos. There aren't enough symbionts for that many hosts. The potential danger to the symbionts would be enormous. They would become commodities to be purchased or prizes to be fought over. Nearly half our population is capable of being joined. That's what we learn from our unfortunate experience with Jaran Dax. How do you understand why you must not reveal the truth?
Do you understand my terms?
It's not that simple. For Jadzia to survive, we have to stabilize the synaptic functions between the host and symbiont. Jaran's memories have to be allowed to surface, to reintegrate with Dax's other memories. Could be very dangerous.
Jadzia's a strong woman. I say we give her that chance.
What if you're wrong? What if Jaran's personality overwhelms Jadzia? Are you willing to risk that?
The point is, it's not up to me or you to decide. It's her life and her decision.
She looks at the doctor and sighs before deactivating the neural suppressor attached to Jadzia's forehead. Slowly, Jadzia wakes up and immediately grasps Bashir's hand.
We've got a lot to talk about, Jadzia. You have a decision to make.
Jadzia Dax, dressed in a white gown, her long brown hair brushed away from her face and resting down her back, walks slowly through the Guardian's cavern to the symbiont's pool. At the edge, she undoes the gown and shrugs it off. Wearing only a thin white shift, Jadzia steps into the pool, a nervous but knowing expression on her face. As the water rises up to her waist, she sits slowly, allowing herself to sink in up to her shoulders. Gentle ripples spread across the pool, and a symbiont appears before her, sending a crackling blue light across the pool, which spreads over Jadzia in communication. She closes her eyes as the light crackles over her, and as she opens them again, a man rises slowly out of the pool. He watches her fearfully, but Dax smiles in welcome.
Jorian.
You know who I am.
You're a part of me.
She holds out her hand to him and he takes it. They draw each other closer and he rests his head on her shoulder as they embrace. The crackling blue light of symbiont communication spreads over them. With her eyes closed, Jadzia holds his head tenderly while the light disappears, and with it, so does Jurian. Opening her eyes, she folds her arms lightly across her chest with her fingers splayed over her shoulders and turns her face upwards. Resting in the pool, she bathes in her new knowledge and understanding, her features relaxed and peaceful. On Deep Space Nine, Jadzia sits in a window in her quarters, staring at the stars.
Come in. Checking up on me, Benjamin.
Just thought I'd see how you were doing.
Julian stopped by 15 minutes ago and said the same thing. I'll be all right. I just need some time to sort things out.
I suppose it would have been easier if you'd never found out about Joran.
No, I'm glad I did. If you want to know who you are, it's important to know who you've been.
Good night, old man.
Benjamin, I'll see you in the morning.
As Sisko leaves, Jadzia closes her eyes slowly. She opens them to look around her room. Crossing to a table, she sits slowly down in front of a synthesizer keyboard. Composing herself, she places both hands on the keys and breathes deeply. The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.
Thank you.